Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. They have served the Valley for decades. They have taken impeccable care of their customers. They have made sure that the insurance coverage matches their customer every time. And if you have a problem, they are accessible to make sure you can get to them, and they will make sure that all the steps are taken. That is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Why don't you find out why so many have depended on the Purdy's for years to be their insurance agency? I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. One quick note, the Maryland football game. Television has decided that Maryland will either be a noon or 3:30. But they will not make the selection until Sunday. Here's the issue I have with that right now. Television does have a lot of control because they do pay a lot of money. But you, the paying customer, also pay a lot of money. And two areas that I have respected. One is, believe it or not, Notre Dame football, when they did their, when they made the move 20 years ago to NBC, they established at the beginning of the season kickoff times with no flex. Now, they can do that. They are on one network and they can set start times. So every Notre Dame fan knows the kickoff of all seven home games before the season begins, and they can plan ahead. The 12-day window, I think we've all become used to that. I understand it. Now, this is not a Penn State issue. It's not a Big Ten issue. But it is a television issue. And when you are fighting all the time to make sure that you fill your stadium for games, and this, I don't care whether it's Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, USC, whomever it happens to be. And this six-day window comes up, and they're allowed to have three of these a year. That's too many. I can see flexing a game, especially in November, flexing a game. But after a while, you don't know 12 days out what game you want for November 1st. And I think for the fan, that's an incredible disservice to the fans. People have plans in their lives. You know, how am I going? If it's a noon game, do I go Friday night? Do I need a room Friday night? Do I have an RV? I got to rent it Friday. I got to make sure I'm in the parking lot by 8 o'clock. What time do I have to leave? Is the game 3:30? Can I leave the morning of the game? Am I going to stay over Saturday night? What restaurant am I going to go to? How am I going to cater this thing? When do I pick the food up? I mean, everything that goes into it. You're the paying customer, too. And you can't keep doing things in a business sense that makes it easier for people to stay home. Now, this is not a Penn State issue. They have no control over this at all. This is not a Big Ten issue, but it is if they can put it in the contract. You need to start dictating contracts to your terms. The Masters, for example, it may be an annual event, and it is an annual event. But they're on one-year contracts with CBS, and they dictate all the terms. There's 56 minutes of golf. There are 4 minutes of commercials. 56 minutes of golf an hour and 4 minutes of commercials. They also dictate who the sponsors happen to be. And they have control over their event. And they invite television in. It's a huge event. Television's anxious to be in. And I believe CBS has signed 51 or 52 consecutive one-year contracts. Notre Dame football, they establish the kickoff times ahead of time. I think sports, they have to do a better job of taking control of their product, even though television is paying big money for it, because you in the stands are paying big money too. And that's just my opinion. The 6-day window thing bothers me. 12 I can live with. But in college basketball, for example, there's one flex weekend for the Big Ten. It's the last weekend of the year. I can give you the start times for every basketball game this year. And I can give you the start times for every basketball game for every team in the Big Ten this year. Every one of them. Because it's already established except for the last weekend, which is a flex weekend based on the standings. Perfectly understandable. And you know going in it's a flex weekend. But right now in college football, right now the last start time that we know for Penn State this year is Saturday night. The next five games, nobody knows what times they're starting. Or, in the case of the road games, what networks they're on. Really? There has to be a little more control. TV pays a lot of money. I understand that, and I respect that. But there has to be a little bit more respect for the fan that sits in the seat. And that starts with knowing what time the game is. That's a little too much control from television to have. A 6-day window. Well, you're not going to know till Sunday what time your game is. That's just my opinion. I mean, you may be perfectly fine and comfortable with it. I understand that. Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com, about to join us. David, it is great to hear your voice.
Steve, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. The Steelers have actually won 15 consecutive Monday night games at home, which is a Monday night football record. What is it about night games at Heinz Field that can give any team a boost?
I don't know. We talked about that this past week on the podcast about, you know, whether or not this is, you know, how big of an advantage the streak is. I don't know if I put so much into that. I mean, every year you have a different team, and really this year you really have a much different team, much younger team, especially on the defensive side of the football. But, you know, I think it's the atmosphere, most definitely. I think it's the tradition, with it being, of course, Monday night, knowing that the nation's watching. It has the crowd revved up a little bit more. So you know, will the Steelers have an advantage because of that? Well, I think absolutely, you know, and hopefully if they can get off to a good start in this game and keep the crowd in it, it'll make it even tougher on the Texans.
All right, let's get to the Watt-Clowney factor in this. How do you examine that? It's really tough to examine in some ways, Dave, because they haven't been out there together. Or at least rarely have been. How do you view, first of all, J.J. Watt and the kind of player he is?
J.J. Watt's incredible. You know, one of the things that I put up on my site this past weekend in a Friday post, basically asking my readers questions, were, you know, we're in 15 years, are we going to be talking about J.J. Watt being in the Hall of Fame? And, boy, judging by his career, you know, thus far, the trajectory that it's on, it's hard to imagine that not happening. And the guy is just, his motor goes every play. That he lines up not only outside, but inside. The lineup on both sides, you know, he's a matchup problem. You have to know where he's at on the field at all times. And, you know, you've seen some teams this year so far try to double and triple team him. And even then, you know, he's still putting up the statistics, you know, that you would expect him to put up. And, you know, as far as Jadeveon Clowney goes, Steve, I'm not convinced he's going to dress and make it back tonight.
Right.
He is yet to practice fully, even though he's listed, I believe, as questionable for the Texans this week. He was able to work on a limited basis. But, you know, I think he even told some of their beat reporters down there that he still doesn't have the change of direction that he would hope to have. And if he doesn't have that, that's a huge part of his game. And they kind of theorize that if Jadeveon does suit up and play tonight, then, you know, wouldn't expect more than 10 to 12 snaps, you know, with him. So yes, I mean, both those guys are going to be a force in the future, but I'm not convinced we'll see both of them on the field tonight. But, heck, they've shown they don't need both. They just need J.J. Watt on that field doing what he does.
How do you think, Dave, based on the tapes that you watch of the Steelers and what you've watched of Houston, how the Steelers potentially need to attack this thing tonight?
Well, you need to slow down that pass for a rush as best as you can. You've got to have those guys like J.J. Watt playing the run on the way to the pass. If they're able just to pin their ears back and go after Ben Roethlisberger, it's going to make for a long night. So you've got to be able to run the football at times. You've got to be able to run the football at J.J. Watt. That's easier said than done. But they're going to have to establish some sort of running game. They're going to have to stay out of those must-pass situations that are obvious, talking about second and eight, third and seven, third and six or longer, those type of things. That's just a start, you know. They're going to have to get, yardage in bunches. These 10, 11 play drives, they're nice to look at. They're great to look at on the stat page, but theoretically, one penalty, one sack, and your drive's going to come to an end. So I would look for them to try to run the football mostly inside, and I would try to work some play action off of that in an attempt to get the ball downfield for an explosive play. And the Texans have shown that they don't give up the big play as well. More importantly, more than anything, when you get inside that red zone, you've got to put 7 points up instead of three, and the Steelers have struggled with that in the last several games.
On the flip side, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brian Hoyer, to me, are in pretty much the same category as a quarterback. I think it's six of one, half dozen of the other. But Arian Foster and Andre Johnson, compared to what the Browns have, are not. They're much more cut above. Your thoughts on how Houston and how the Steelers need to attack Houston's offense?
Well, I tell you, first and foremost, you've got to worry about that stretch outside zone that the Houston Texans have run for several years with Arian Foster. And the Steelers have yet to proven that they can stop that this season. Just look at the two games against the Browns. Look at the game against the Ravens. Both of those teams run that outside zone. They run that stretch good. And the Steelers have not shown that they can stop it. And if the Steelers want to have a chance in this game, it's got to start with that. You've got to shut that outside zone run down early. You have to get Fitzpatrick into second and long and third and long situations there. That's when he's most vulnerable. That's when stats say that he makes his mistakes. So, Dick LeBeau's talked for years about the key to his defense is stopping a run on early downs, and we'll see, about that tonight. And you got to remember, the Steelers are going to be without nose tackle Steve McClendon, who really, of all the players on that front seven, plays that outside zone best of all of. And now you have a guy like Cam Thomas going to probably start, has been basically horrible against, not only against inside runs, but outside zone runs as well, too. You're going to have Stephon Tuitt possibly starting at left defensive end in this game as well, too. So it all starts with stopping the run. If they're able to do that and get Fitzpatrick in those must-pass situations where they can start sending some people out after him, I think they'll be fine. And Andre Johnson and Hopkins over there, look, those are established guys, and they're going to get theirs. You just can't let them get theirs in chunks. So, Andre Johnson, pencil him in for 5 for 70 yards in this game, but just don't let him have the explosive plays. Just don't let him beat you in the red zone.
Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com, joining us to break down tonight's Steelers-Texans game. It is a division where Baltimore is playing well. Cleveland not only lost to Jacksonville, they were dominated by Jacksonville yesterday. And the Bengals are struggling, and they got shut out yesterday. At this stage, give me the importance of tonight's game, Dave, because suddenly I think the dynamics of the division have changed.
We talked about this. Another thing, where does this rank on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as a must-win game, even though you're only, this is only week 7 of the NFL? Steve, I tend to put it up there in about a 9.5 category there, to be honest with you, because Look at the rest of the AFC. You've got Denver and San Diego. Those guys are going to be in the playoffs. You've got the Colts. You know those guys are going to be in the playoffs. You know the Patriots are going to be in the playoffs. That's four teams right there. So they're basically going to come down to one other wild card team, which the Houston Texans are in the running for. Of course, whoever wins the AFC North, and then one other wild card. So, you know, you can start to whittle it down and start seeing the haves and the have-nots as it is. If they lose this game to the Texans, it could come back to bite them later on in the season. You know, if these two teams are vying, you know, are battling for a playoff spot, and it comes down to some sort of head-to-head tiebreakers. Not only that, you know, you did mention it. Cincinnati really is free-falling right now. They've only have a tie in their last three games. The Browns, what's going to happen with the Browns? I mean, they lost Alex Mack, and they look like a totally different team against Jacksonville on Sunday there. So the Ravens, the Steelers still have a head-to-head game against them in a couple of weeks. I really think, Steve, to be honest with you, this team has to win four out of their next five games, with their only loss, if they're going to lose, would be against Indianapolis this coming Sunday. So I would put this at a 9.5 on the must-win scale.
If you're doing a check mark and you get the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger versus Ryan Fitzpatrick is a huge check mark for the Steelers. Can Roethlisberger have the ability to control the tone of tonight's game?
Yeah, I think he can, because I think you're going to see some no huddle in this game early and often. I really do. I think, look, you go back to that Week One game against the Browns. Go back to some of the successes that the Steelers had last season, even in some of their losses against Minnesota and New England last year. That rhythm that they had, you know, able to move the football during those times of the game, and more importantly, put points up on the board. Look, we know they can move the ball between the 20s. They just got to finish now. So,
right.
I think Roethlisberger will play an important part in tonight's game as far as controlling it with the rhythm. And look, you want to get in a situation where you keep their offense, you know, the opposing offense, off the field, you know, late in the game. So if this team has a 10-point, you know, lead in the second half, fourth quarter specifically, look for them to try to pound the ball like they did to kind of close out that game a couple of weeks ago against the Jaguars.
That was going to be my final question, Dave. The ability, if the Steelers can play with the lead, based on how Houston plays the game, if the Steelers can play for a lead, how significant will that be because of how Houston plays offense?
I think it's very significant, because you're going to be taking them, and you know, I'm talking about more than just a touchdown, you know, hopefully in the 10-point category, and talking about the you know, late in the third, early in the fourth, because I think they would have to abandon the run at that point, and that's pretty huge in my opinion. I think you'd be able to really get off on Fitzpatrick and make him force a couple of throws that he probably doesn't want to make at that point. So, yeah, I think it's big. And look, you know, statistics tell us over the years, you know, that Dick LeBeau's defense, that's when the sacks come, that's when the turnovers come, is when the defense has a 10-point or better or more lead in the game. So I think that is huge.
Always fun to break down a game with you that took place the day before, but I thought it was even more fun to sit down and preview one tonight. Dave, thanks so much for the time.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me, and enjoy the game tonight.
All right, Dave Ryan, SteelerDepot.com. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia is out to break their all-time new Kia sales record in a month by discounting their entire new Kia inventory to levels never seen before. Sunbury Motors Kia has 21 all-wheel drive Serenos with discounts up to $4,000, starting under $24,000. A midsize four-wheel drive SUV under $24,000 is unheard of. Sunbury Motors has the gas-sipping Kia Sportage starting under $23,000. Remember, we're here to break records this October with discounts never seen before. During this record-breaking month, you can buy a brand new Optima with no money down for under $370 per month. This is a luxury Kia sedan with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty for under $370 a month. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf, or at sunburymotorskia.com. Must qualify. Special team, CAMF incentives applied.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Someone should recuse themselves from doing that game. All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I do. All right. And that's what bothers you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You should recuse yourself.
Nah.
I mean, I don't want it. I don't want my announcer screaming, come on, put my kid in. All right.
Nobody's going to be listening to that. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah. Nor should they.
There are a lot of announcers that have had to deal with this over the years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure they have.
All right. Penn State, Ohio State coming up on Saturday night at 8. They're going to have a pep rally after the volleyball game coming up on Friday night. And open the doors at 6 for the volleyball. I think it starts, the volleyball starts at 7. Peyton Manning last night set what I think is now football's version of the home run record, the 510 touchdown passes. I think when they changed the rules of the game in 1978 with the 5-yard rule and so forth, no contact downfield, that's where this touchdown pass record, I think, then supplanted what had been, I think, the standard, which was the rushing record, which Jim Brown held for years. That's why I think what Aaron Murray has done is very, very impressive, what Murray has done with the Cowboys. 7 straight to start the year, 100 yards or better. That's pretty impressive the way today's game is played. I'll tell you this. I am not – Baylor lost, and I've been on record saying that Baylor and Oregon are two schools that will never win the national championship, because I just don't think that style of play is going to – I think that wins you games on a week-by-week basis. But the oddity of that is this. I think when those teams take a punch in the mouth, they don't know how to punch back. And West Virginia punched them in the mouth, and Baylor couldn't punch back. Oregon lost the other week, same thing. A punch in the mouth, couldn't punch back. They're great front-running teams, but not teams that when you would think through the way they throw the ball, they'd be great come-from-behind teams. Yet over the years, they haven't been.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. How about the Percy Harvin trade? There's some issue, obviously, with Percy Harvin, personality-wise, that the Jets fans, you can get excited all you want, but why is it he can't stick someplace? Remember all the issues that they talked about with Urban Meyer at Florida. What was the one name it kept coming back to? Percy Harvin. Great athlete. I know Urban Meyer likes him a lot. But the issues at Florida kept coming back to Percy Harvin. And it was rumored and written about that he was coddled by Urban Meyer, you know, to keep him, hey, look, you know, great player. Let's take good care of him. And to the detriment of the other players, couldn't stand it. because they didn't like his personality. Well, he went to Minnesota, then he gets traded to Seattle. Well, it turned out that right before the Super Bowl, Percy Harvin and Golden Tate got into a physical confrontation in the locker room. What is it about a great talent that is supposed to be the key to your football team moving forward that you paid two draft picks for to get? I mean, Michael Robinson broke that fight up. So that's what you have in a guy like Percy Harvin. Awesome talent. Awesome talent. I mean, Tate and Harvin had a fight right before the Super Bowl in the locker room. Now, I don't know if it was the day of the game. I have a sense it's not the day of the game. But this is a case of a great, great talent that has never fulfilled that promise in the NFL, although he had a great Super Bowl. But remember, he was out most of the year. You recall in our Super Bowl Media Day visit, that was one of the guys that we focused on. Reason was that you knew going in this was the X factor in the game. So now he's a Jet. How much room do the Jets give him? Can they keep him under control? One thing Brandon Marshall did a great job with in his career, what he's done with the Bears, is Brandon Marshall has done a great job of really, in some ways, resurrecting his career. He'd been in Denver. And it's like, okay, why would Denver not want him? Because they needed a big-time receiver. Then Miami. Why wouldn't Miami want him? And I think Brandon Marshall was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder 3 years ago. And they were able to solve it. Now, whether Harvin has that or not, I have no idea. But now he's a Jet. Can he be the game breaker the Jets have been begging for Geno Smith? Sure. He absolutely can be. He's extremely talented. The question is channeling that talent and that emotion at the same time. Steelers play the Texans tonight. Bill O'Brien's team in Pittsburgh for this one. The Steelers have won 15 consecutive home Monday night football games. That is a record. It's remarkable, isn't it?
Don't jinx it.
No, we'll just talk about it repeatedly, see how it goes.
That shouldn't cause any problem at all. I know. You don't believe in that sort of thing. I understand.
No, I do not.
Right now, I believe in anything. I believe in anything and everything.
Common sense tells you it can't be true.
I agree.
It's going to happen whether you talk about it or not.
Yep, I agree with that.
The same result tonight is going to happen whether I mention them won 15 in a row at home on Monday Night Football or not. I find it to be an interesting fact that is just of interest. It has no bearing on the football game at all tonight. Steelers obviously do play well in prime time, to their credit. In fact, what's their most impressive win of the season this year? Prime time against Carolina, Sunday night. I don't know.
I'm just saying if they lose tonight, I'm blaming you.
And I'm telling you ahead of time, I don't care.
I don't care.
If the Steelers can get to the lead in this one and play with the lead, they will win this game. By playing with the lead, they will then eventually forced Bill O'Brien to abandon the Arian Foster part of the game. The longer that the Texans hang in there and can continue to use Arian Foster and use that zone stretch play that the Steelers struggle against, then it becomes a dangerous game. I also think it's an extremely important game for the Steelers tonight. The Browns were really taken apart by Jacksonville yesterday. Denard Robinson ran for 127 yards on a touchdown, and Jacksonville controlled them. The negative, Paul Posluszny tore a pectoral muscle. He's out for the year. And the Bengals are 0-2-1 in their last three games. So the team that I feel has the best talent in the division is getting closer to playing A.J. McCarron at quarterback. You think?
Well, I do have a quarterback question, and it has nothing to do with A.J. McCarron. Thank you very much. By the way, it was nice of you to sneak that in there. But if you go down to D.C. right now...
I didn't say it. You did.
But if you go down to D.C. right now, is this the definition of quarterback controversy?
For what?
Well, Kirk Cousins' era looks like it's done. Even before, you know, even not even counting when RG3 was ready to come back. But he was benched for Colt McCoy.
Which is getting closer, by the way.
Yes. He's benched for Colt McCoy on Sunday. And Gruden told reporters today that he's the starter until RG3 returns from the ankle injury.
Okay, what's controversial about that?
Well, I'm just asking, do you think that's the right move? Is that a good move? Are they now done with Kirk Cousins? Is Kirk Cousins expendable in Washington?
He was anyway, because they made it very obvious that RG3 was their starter when he came back. Kirk Cousins is their backup quarterback. He's the number two quarterback. And right now he's the number three quarterback. So any thought, and this was his golden opportunity here. In the preseason, it looked like he had a better handle on the offense than RG3. Now he's had repeated chances in games in this offense and has not been able to produce. Colt McCoy is somebody this is not the first rodeo. He's game ready, he's game speed ready, and you have to admire the fact that he's been around the block. So he'll be able to handle certain things. Long term, Colt McCoy's not the answer. Kirk Cousins has proven to this point in a couple of years that long term he's not the answer. For RG3, he has to be the answer. I would expect the other part that has to be disappointing for the Redskins is that if they were to, in the offseason, trade Kirk Cousins, the value of draft pick they could get in return for him is not going to be as high as it might have been a month and a half ago.
I think it's going to be way down.
You know, it's probably in the 5, 6, 7 range.
By the way, the last time the Redskins had three different starting quarterbacks in the same season was 0-2. Can you name those three?
Don't know, don't care, and so what?
It's pretty close to that. Shane Matthews, Patrick Ramsey, and Danny Werfel.
No wonder they stunk.
They were 7-9 that year.
Well, that actually isn't bad considering.
It's not bad considering.
and Steve Spurrier had to be the coach, right?
Steve Spurrier was, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, I believe Colt McCoy's average pass was marked at 3.3 yards downfield, with the second shortest in any game this season with a minimum of 10 attempts.
But you know what? That was my biggest complaint about RG3 last year. I felt the biggest complaint I had about watching RG3 last year was the length of pass and how much was expected of receivers to make yards after the catch. I felt when every time I watched the Redskins play last year, I thought, let him wing it downfield. Let him do something with it. But everything was that short, quick, get rid of it. And he played nervous.
Well, here's a perfect example of what you're talking about. McCoy's big touchdown pass to Garcon was a 70-yarder. Ball went 12 yards in the air, 58 came on the ground, outrunning the Titans.
Right. I mean, that's part of it. But I mean, a lot of the RG3 completions, the latter stages of last year were under 5 yards. In terms of the physical throw the ball, catch the ball. Then after that, how many yards after the catch? That's why he had a lousy yards per completion last year. They need to let him be him. And I know, you know, the two injuries he's had are major injuries. When you have major injuries, you are not injury prone. It's when you have a series of minor injuries, then you're injury prone. A major injury is just that. It's a major injury. Where there, you know, there isn't much you can do about it. It's the guys that are injury prone, the ones who are like, well, you know, he turned a knee and he turned an ankle. And he went, oh, gee. You know, when you actually go out and, you know, tear an ACL, dislocate an ankle, I mean, that's bad luck. That's not injury prone.
How many times does RG3, I mean, well, I understand what you're saying about not being injury prone with two major injuries, but how many players have been able to come back from two major injuries and be effective?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I just didn't know if anybody came to mind right away. I couldn't think of anybody, but, you know, I was just checking to see if you could think of anybody that came to mind.
I don't know.
I mean, one injury, yeah, a lot of guys will come to mind, but I can't think of anybody that's come back from two major injuries and have been successful.
Ryan Howard. All right, let's see.
You judge success differently than I do.
You're a hater.
Ryan Howard. Oh, boy.
First guy I could think of that two major injuries at least
well,
he is still out there,
but is not the definition of successful. I'm sorry, you don't win that round.
But they've invested in him, and we'll see. Penn State and Ohio State coming up. Down the road, this is going to be interesting to watch how it plays out, because I believe recruiting-wise, every coach tries to recruit speed, but I think with the roots that Urban Meyer has in the South and with the roots that James Franklin's established in the South, Penn State and Ohio State have a chance to bring an element of speed to the Big Ten that people have not really seen before. And to see them both do it at the same time is going to be interesting to watch how it plays out. We've had a population shift in this country. As much as I have great, great respect for Pennsylvania football and some of the players on this team that I look at that are Pennsylvania-rooted guys, Mike Hall, Pennsylvania-rooted guy, Jesse James, Pennsylvania-rooted guy, and Adam Brenneman, all right, Pennsylvania-rooted guy, Ryan Kaiser, obviously. Deion Barnes. These are all Pennsylvania, Naeem Wortman, Pennsylvania rooted guys. And Wortman can run and Hull can run. You know, we watch Jesse James, Adam Brenneman, they can all move and run. But that element of football player in combination with track speed, we all know that there's a lot more of it down south. The population shift has dictated that. James Franklin, it's no coincidence that they bring in Christian Campbell. He can run. They bring in Grant Haley. He can run. From Alabama and Georgia, respectively. Marcus Allen from Virginia can run. Now, they didn't recruit Deshaun Hamilton. He came in with Christian Hackenberg. But he can move. Godwin and Blacknall can both move. Godwin's from Delaware. Blacknall's from New Jersey. So even in this radius here, you'll be able to find speed guys. There's no question about that. But a few extra ones can be found in the SEC region. And both James Franklin and Urban Meyer have the kind of tentacles down there that can change the dynamic somewhat of the Big Ten, speed-wise. Michigan State has speed, and you'll see, they run well across the board. And not, believe me, not every northern school is a plodding school. Don't expect them to be like Big 12 schools either, because both James Franklin and Urban Meyer both believe in running the football too. Baylor, it's just running the football is just something to do when they're not passing. By the way, the Royals and Giants play Game 1 World Series tomorrow night. Madison Bumgarner against big game James Shields. I'm trying to think which World Series clinching games he's won in his career. None. All right. Oh, we will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Hope everyone's doing well today as we roll through together on this Monday. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Tony Knopf, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, who, by the way, was very upset at himself because he was supposed to call into the show on Wednesday, and he's pretty ticked off at himself right now that he was not on last Wednesday. We'll be on this Wednesday. Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, is going to join us this week. We're going to have him on. So we have some interesting guests coming on to talk about the game coming up on Saturday night between Penn State and Ohio State, plus the business of sports with Tony Knopf. And part of that business of sports I'm going to bring up with him is whether or not floating the kickoffs the way they do in college football is a detriment. Now, this is going to be the first of a six-day window that they're implementing that fans will not know the kickoff of the Maryland game until Sunday. And it just is not fan-friendly to me. I mean, you people put a lot of money into this. I mean, you know, yeah, we're going to have a wedding. Oh, well, when's it going to be? Oh, well, we'll tell you in 6 days. Oh, really? Okay, great. Yeah, obviously the fans are used to this. But that doesn't mean it's right. I mean, right now the only known kickoff for Penn State football is Saturday night. After that, the next five, don't know. All right, thanks for being with us today. Steelers play the Titans tonight. Jeff Hartman, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com tomorrow to break the game down.
Here we go.
Plus, Kevin's analysis.
Listen. You'll be able to tell what I think by the final score.
Oh, no, that's the difference between me and the rest of the world. I get text messages during the game.